Today's reading is from John chapter 6, verses 32 through 35. Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us the bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our Father who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Mindy Moore, and I'm the pastor here at St. Luke's Midtown, and I am so excited to keep going in this series together on the Lord's Prayer. We pray with me as we get started today. God, this idea that you don't fail us, that is a key part of our story, that you are faithful. God, that is what we're holding on to today as we look at this line of the prayer. God, that might be what we need to hold on in our lives, period, no matter what we're doing in church. And so I pray, Lord, wherever we need you to meet us today, that you would show up like only you can, that you would remind us of who you are, and God, whose we are. Jesus, be with us now as we look at your word, as we grow together in faith. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, as we start today, I want to tell you about something that happened in my family during the early days of the pandemic. Now, there was a lot of really precious, great stuff that happened during the pandemic. I saw all you posted on Instagram. Okay, like some of you, you learned a new hobby. Maybe you started knitting or roller skating. I love that for you. Some of you parents, you made like color-coded schedules for your kids every day. I love that for you too. So I would just like, you know, the Moores, we were just not that precious during the pandemic. Like, we were holding on for dear life. We were really grouchy. I mean, I won't speak for you, Zach. I was very grouchy the whole pandemic, trying not to let it show, those first several months where we were stuck in our house. And so I was just like, the whole time. But one day, a couple months in, something happened that started to melt my grouchy, irritable heart. I went outside, probably so like the kids could ride their bikes in the driveway or maybe to check the mail. I don't know what I was doing. But in one of my mulch beds, there was this little painted rock. I had zero chill about this rock. Okay, I was like, look at this thing. God loves us. It's all going to be okay. Like, everything's going to be fine. And so I started finding these rocks on like an almost weekly basis. And I had no idea where they were coming from. Every time this would happen, I would text and then call my mother-in-law because we have in common that we like cute little things like this. And I would be like, "Cheryl, there's another rock." And God bless Cheryl Moore because she would just be like, "Wow, that's so cool. I wonder where these are coming from." I mean, she knew where they were coming from. I did not catch on for an embarrassingly long amount of time. So I would just call her and I'd be like, "There's another one. It has a smiley face or it has hearts or a rainbow." And I was just so happy. And finally, one day she was like, "Mindy, who do you think's leaving these rocks?" It was her. It was her. I did not know. I'm going to blame it on pandemic brain. But here's the thing about these rocks. They made me think that, you know, sometimes what we need and sometimes where it comes from, that can take us by surprise. It can be a little bit unexpected for us. So during this whole sermon series, we are studying the Lord's Prayer line by line. And today we're looking at this line, "Give us this day our daily bread." We're talking about what we expect God to do for us, what we think is going to happen. And I just want to name for you today that this is the point in the prayer where we do like a little pivot. Things change a little bit at this point. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you might have noticed that everything we've been talking to up until this point, we've been like saying things basically about God. We've been saying, God, you're holy. God, you relate to us like a perfect parent. God, you have this beautiful way of being in the world. Help our lives reflect those things. That's been the point of everything we've looked at so far. But today, it changes. Because today we're making less statements about God, and we're more asking God to do something for us. I think at face value, it looks like what we're really saying when we say, give us this day our daily bread, is we're saying, God, give us what we need for this day. You know, I think that's part of it. But honestly, the part about this prayer is that it's a little more nuanced and complicated than we might expect. And as I studied that this week, that kind of took me by surprise. It might take you by surprise too, because give us this day our daily bread seems kind of straightforward at first glance. But the thing that makes this line in the prayer more complicated than you might expect is this rogue Greek word that's in there. Now, I don't know, does anything get you excited as a rogue Greek word? Like when you were coming here today, where you're like, oh, I hope she talks about a rogue Greek word. I'm sure you did. Me too. But I want to look at this word with you because it actually makes a difference in how we understand this line of the prayer. So we're looking at this word, and in English, it's that word daily, which in Greek is epiousian. Now, it's used in both the Matthew and the Luke version of the prayer in Scripture. But here's what's wild and rogue about this word. This is the first time we see this word in the whole Greek language, in these verses. Now, I'm not talking like Greek like in the Bible. I mean Greek, period, in the entire language. It never appears until these passages. So I thought that was kind of weird. Like, why is this word being made up for these purposes? What do we need to pay attention to? And if you break it down, it isn't as simple as what we'd associate with that word daily. Like, that's how we translate it now, but it actually means something a little more complex. If it was most accurately translated, it would mean that which is needed to be or that which is essential. So I think as we pray this, maybe a better way to describe this bread than just daily is, God, give me this day the bread I need to survive. Give me the things that are essential to my life. When I think about it in those terms, it feels a little different to me. You know, I probably, like you, I do a lot of stuff every day. Like, I have a lot of daily routines, right? I brush my teeth. I check the mail. I scroll Instagram. I'm not saying our daily routines are always that compelling and exciting, but we have these things that we do day in, day out. They make up our lives. But if we really think about those things, I'm not sure we would say all of those things are essential. I'm not sure we'd say all of those things are needed to survive. I mean, you should brush your teeth every day. Like that one, keep that on the list. But some of the stuff that we do, it's just daily. It isn't that essential. But I think there's something that feels urgent when we say, God, I need you to give me the bread, or like if you want to drop the metaphor, that's totally fine. Give me the things that I need in order to make it through this life. Like, that is a different way to pray. And I just want to name that this part of the prayer, this line of the prayer, it hits different for some of you. It hits differently depending on where we are in our lives. It makes me think about when I was in seminary and we were just married. We were in our early 20s. We were living in the very affordable location of Southern California. I mean, when I tell you we were just like bleeding money for a season, I'm not exaggerating. And I remember during that season having to go to the food pantry on my seminary campus so that we could eat. Guys, this prayer hits different when those are your circumstances. This prayer hits different when you think about our own city, where in Indiana, in the state of Indiana, 25% of people need assistance with food, but in Marion County, where we are, that number is 31%. The statistics tell us that of people that struggle with food security, 2 in 5, even if they go to food pantries, even if they have EBT, they cannot find the ways to make those gaps fully close. I mean, God, give me what I need to survive. That's not a hypothetical prayer for a lot of people. That may not be a hypothetical prayer for you. And I just want you to know, if that's where you are when you're praying this prayer, there is no shame in that. Like, God hears that prayer. God cares about that. God cares about our physical needs. But I think no matter where you are, we can pray this prayer with urgency. Like, we don't have to have great financial need to pray it in that way, because our needs aren't always physical. I mean, sometimes they're spiritual. And Jesus, when he talks to his disciples in this passage in John that Nancy read for us, he tells them, "I'm the bread of life," and he gets that. He gets that our needs are complicated, they're complex. You know, sometimes I think we make up this really false understanding of how Jesus works. We think he's either all in on the physical needs or he's all in on the spiritual needs. And there's like this weird either or that I've never seen Jesus ask us to create, but sometimes we do it. But when I look at Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry, I think, no, he did both all the time. I mean, Jesus was the guy that ate with people. He helped feed people. He would wash feet. He would heal bodies. And still at the same time, as he cared about those here and now things, Jesus said, "There's something more. There's something more that I care about. I care about what's happening in your heart." Because I think what we all know is that sometimes our survival isn't just having the things we need, but it's about what's going on inside of us. In fact, what I would guess is that there's a lot of us walking around where we have all of our needs met. We actually might have like an abundance of stuff, an abundance of money or time or resources, but our spiritual lives are kind of hanging on by a thread. We got to pay attention to those needs just as much as the physical needs too. What it makes me wonder about as I study this part of the prayer is if maybe the biggest gift we get here is just the ability to look at God and say, "Hey, God, I need help with something." Now, I think that we don't always like doing that. I mean, hello, I hate it. So, I mean, we're conditioned, right, that we want to be independent, that we want to have it all together, that we want to know what to do for ourselves and by ourselves, and we need to do the thing. And this starts in us from such a young and early age. Now, if you don't believe me, I'm going to give you a real-life case study of a time that this was true. I'd like to introduce you to my son, Reese Andrew, when he was not quite 2. All right, so there's a lot going on in this simple picture. I'm going to walk you through it. So first, I want you to notice in this picture that there's both a baby gate and a child lock on the pantry, both of which the child's mother did not choose to engage that day. So when the child's mother walked into the kitchen and saw this little almost 2-year-old standing with the pantry open and the plate of Cheerios, she realized she had made a terrible mistake. And so for Reese, though, this was a great day, because for him, he's thinking this is the first time in his little almost 2-year-old life where he is about to get a snack on his own accord. I mean, I want you to imagine the power, the freedom that comes with that. In fact, Avery, can we see the next slide, the close-up? Okay. do you see the eyes? Like the eyes, it's just, there's so much potential and possibility there. I'm so excited for him. However, this did not go as young Reese had hoped that it would go. And I also want you to know, at this point, I just assumed the role of photographer. I was like, I have lost control over this situation. I'm just going to document this. Like, that is the best thing I can do in this moment. So this didn't work out the way Reese had hoped, because as he had his little plate of Cheerios, this is what happened next. I know, poor guy, his snack, it was all over the floor. But look, this Cheerio incident, it was funny. I actually showed him these pictures and he was like, Mom, were you so mad when I spilled all the Cheerios? I was like, I don't know. I mean, I was taking pictures, probably not. We cleaned it up. This didn't cost us anything. Okay, it took me 2 seconds to sweep it up. You will not be surprised to know that this child did, in fact, get a snack. Like, he was fine. He was fine. This didn't cost us anything. But sometimes our resistance to being dependent, especially being dependent on God, it does cost us. I mean, maybe you've had an experience like that. I think Jesus references it in his conversation with the disciples. When he says to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." When he says that, he's making a reference to the story that happened in the Exodus. For us, it's out of Exodus 16. It happens to be my favorite Bible story. I was like, Jesus, that's cool. Thank you for that. I love this story so much. But he's referencing this time when the Israelites are wandering around the wilderness for years and years and years, and God keeps showing up for them. But here's the challenge in this story. Even though God shows up for them, even though the whole reason they're in the wilderness is because God delivered them from slavery in Egypt, even though they have that whole backstory, they're not always sure that God's actually going to give them what they need or what they want. In fact, they have this moment where they start to doubt God, where they start to hoard what God has given them. They're just not sure they can actually believe God's going to give them everything they need to get by and survive in that season. For the Israelites at this time, they have to take the first step of admitting they're vulnerable. They have to say, God, we cannot do this unless you intervene. And they have to believe that God's actually going to come through for them when they need it the most. I just wonder if maybe we need to believe that sometimes. I told you, I don't really like asking for help. I don't really like this part either. I don't like admitting that I need to be dependent on God. Maybe it's a challenge for you as well. But when I read the Bible, when I think about our big story as people of faith, I'm like, ugh, this is the theme that keeps coming up over and over again throughout Scripture. I mean, if we look at that story in Exodus that Jesus is referring to, like I said, the Israelites, they decide, God, I don't know if we can trust you. So we're going to hoard this stuff that you give us every day. And you know what happens? That bread, it gets buggy and gross and they can't eat it. And then, years later, they end up in the promised land. So the thing that they've been waiting for, the thing they've been hoping for, the thing they've said, God, we're going to trust you to come through. And when they get there, they're like, hey, God, that was great. Thanks for helping us out. But now we'd actually like a king to come in and take over for you. Like this whole abstract, depend on God thing, it's not working for us anymore. We need a real, in-the-flesh person to trust and follow. God gives it to them. But I'm going to tell you, if you read the Old Testament, it's like a third of it is just hot mess after hot mess of what happens after they get what they want. And even with Jesus, we see this struggle. Because Jesus shows up, and the people are like, huh, you. See, we wanted a Messiah, but we wanted a Messiah that was like powerful and mighty, not a teacher who washes people's feet. Like that does not compute with what we were expecting. We just see this over and over again that God gives us what we need, but it might not always be what we want or what we expect. There's this like push-pull relationship between God and people. How do we trust God? How do we depend on God in that kind of deep level? You know, I'm reading this book right now as we're going through this series, and I am loving this book so much. I joked to someone, I was like, I should be getting a cut because I've recommended this book a lot to people, but I'm going to recommend it to all of you too. It's called Liturgy in the Wilderness, and it's by D.J. Murata. And here's what he says about this part of the Lord's Prayer. He says, we have a lot of unlearning to do before we can learn to trust God and be dependent on him as our provider. You and I are not ready to pray, give us this day our daily bread, until we can admit, even if it's just to ourselves, I feel vulnerable. I don't feel safe. I don't know if I'll have enough. I don't know if I can make it. I'm afraid. I'm fragile. I think this kind of unlearning is really scary. But it's also really freeing for us. And I don't know where you are with that. I don't know how that quote hits you. If you're like, absolutely not. I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be fragile. Or if maybe you're open to it. But I guess what I would say to you is, if you're hearing that and you are feeling that resistance, I would just say to you that being dependent on God does not make you weak or like with a deficit. It doesn't mean that you've failed. I think we have a lot of narratives in our world that's like, just be strong and do the thing and don't need anyone. But actually, this is kind of the whole point of this line of the prayer, is that we can depend on God. I think it might be like the whole point of our faith, that we can depend on God, that we can follow God, that we don't have to do this all on our own. It makes me think of something that the disciples say back to Jesus when he tells them about this bread that he brings. And they say in this really eager way that the disciples do all the time, and I just love it. They go, well, then Jesus, let us have this bread all the time. Like, we want this thing. We can't get enough of it. And I just think, what if that was our attitude and what it looked like to depend on God? If we said, God, this is scary, this is hard, but I want to depend on you in such a way that I can't get enough of that. Because I trust, God, that when you say you'll show up, when I say I don't have it all together, that God, you're gonna come through. I just wonder what it would look like for us to pray that way. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, what if we let it mean something like that? What would that do to our life? What would that do to our faith?